Please turn to Psalm 119. We'll be looking at verse 120. Psalm 119, verse 120. Verse 120 says, "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." Amen. This is God's word. So we've been studying Psalm 119 together in these exhortations, and we come now to verse 120. And as we've looked at each of these verses, we haven't looked at every single verse, but each of the verses we've seen express this amazing depth of spirituality. It's a spirituality that only comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. Let no one think that the Holy Spirit was not at work in the Old Testament. Otherwise, these words could never have been written. And certainly it is here also, verse 120, this is describing a godly, spirit-induced fear of God in the psalmist. And I think what's somewhat surprising about this verse is how specific it is about the fear of God. He says that he trembles, physically trembles for fear of God's judgment. So how do we view that sort of description in light of the promises we have that we do not have to fear the judgment of God? How are those things brought together? Certainly it sounds a bit strange to us because, first of all, we know that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what kind of fear should be manifested in us? What should this fear of God look like? Secondly, we know that our culture affects us and that our culture does not appreciate a God who judges anyone. God is quite welcome in the public square, provided that he has nothing to say and that he doesn't do anything. But that is not the God that we worship, brothers and sisters. We have a God who is not mute. We have a God who speaks with authority, and who acts in judgment and in mercy and salvation. So we want our minds to understand what this fear of God is and to walk in the fear of the Lord. So how do we understand verse 120 in light of other passages in Psalm 119? So I'll read verse 120 again. It says, "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." And then if you go back a number of verses in Psalm 119 to verse 76 and 77, you see the psalmist praying for God's mercy. He says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." So the psalmist is able to express on one hand his complete confidence that God will be merciful to him. He says, "According to your word, be merciful to me." But then on the other hand, he says, "I tremble when I consider your judgments, O God." And so the psalmist knows God is just, God is merciful, and those two truths about our God are not in contradiction. They are brought together at the cross of Jesus Christ, and we see both displayed. And so we often talk about the fear of God, and we distinguish between a fear that fears punishment, the fear that may come upon, that comes upon unbelievers at the final judgment, where they fear the judgment of God, and that judgment comes upon them. But then we also describe the fear that we as the children of God ought to have, a childlike fear of God. And so we don't have to fear this wrath, but we still have an intense sense of the justice of God. That is something that we take very seriously. Romans 5, verses 9 through 10 describes how we are saved from the wrath and judgment of God. It says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So we are saved from God's wrath. We are no longer enemies. We are friends. We are sons of the living God. But we still tremble. We still tremble because we take the justice of God so seriously. as we see it in the cross of Christ. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says that there's a judgment to come. He says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then he concludes, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We know the terror of the Lord. We know the judgment. And so we ourselves have been set free from this judgment, but we know that it will not be so with everyone. And that should make us tremble. And if you had been there to witness the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, would you have trembled as you saw that fire coming down? If you had been there to watch as the floodwaters engulfed the earth and people dying around you, would you have trembled, even though you were in that ark, even though you were safe? Would you have trembled? If you had seen Nadab and Abihu struck down by the Lord for offering strange fire, would you have trembled? It would have been unnatural if you would have not trembled, wouldn't it? It would be totally unnatural to think that you would not have been affected by those things. And it's the same with the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. We embrace these things, we love these things, but they ought to still make us tremble. Perhaps you remember the old gospel hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Maybe you remember the words, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble." Meditating upon the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus ought to be of a source of great comfort and of great trembling as we see the justice of God. It was a fearful day when the sun was made dark as people stood before the cross weeping in fear, beating their breasts. It was a fearful moment when Jesus uttered those words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We even read that the disciples were afraid when they came to the empty tomb. They fled in fear, the Gospel of Mark tells us. And so as we look at this great act of redemption, we have to remember and consider that if God had not saved us from our sins, then his eternal judgments would come upon us. That if Jesus had not taken our sins upon the cross, that we ourselves would be facing that same judgment at this very moment. And this itself should give us a fear of the living God and his judgments. It is like staring over the edge of a deadly cliff, and yet you're safely held in the harness. And yet you know what it would be like if you fell to the very bottom as you see that deadly cliff. And so this fear of God, this trembling at the judgments of God, is not inconsistent with assurance. On the contrary, it goes with assurance. Hebrews 12 describes this. Hebrews 12, 28 through 29, it says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And note in verse 28, we get the kingdom. It's unshakable. We are going to receive this. Therefore, in light of this great promise, we worship with reverence and godly fear. And so it's my prayer this morning that each of us would know what it means to tremble at the judgments of God and yet know the great assurance we have in Christ. As we confess our sins, we have the promise of pardon. We can see the deadly cliff, but we know we're not going to fall because of Jesus' promise. May it be said of us, as Acts 9 says, of the churches. It says, "The churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost." They're brought together. The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost are one. Let us pray for these things this morning. Our Father in heaven, as we consider your great wrath, your justice, your power, we tremble to think of these things, and we know that we have not always been moved as we should be by these things. We have not come with the reverence and awe that we should, knowing that you're a consuming fire. And yet we know these things are true by faith, and we see them, we perceive them. And so we pray that as we meditate upon your justice, that we would be in awe of the great work that you have done in the cross of our Lord Jesus, that you have saved us from the deadly cliff by sending your only Son. We ask, O God, that you would grant a reverence and fear of you. May we remember that you are the thrice holy God and that we are sinners. We ask that you would forgive us for not fearing your name, by taking your commands lightly, for disregarding your warnings, for ignoring your word. We ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us of these things and teach us what it means to walk in the comfort of the Spirit and in the fear of you. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.